Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You are listening to station WGN.
Oh, a microphone.
And a phony at the mic.
Yeah. Whoa!
And radio became an accepted vehicle for nationwide news and opinion.
Notify all radio and TV stations to broadcast the following message.
Oh, is that the comedy spot?
No, Bubblehead, this isn't a comedy spot.
You're a fun guy, Dave. You're lonely on an island.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
This is exciting, isn't it?
10, 5, 4, 3...
All right. Good morning, everybody. It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. Very happy you could join us on this Saturday night and early Sunday morning. 312-981-72 is our number for calls and texts. Good morning to you, Roger.
Well, good morning, sir.
And Camille, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What's happening, everybody? And I have to say, I have to do a little shout out to my wife's aunt who stays up late, Aunt Irene. Good morning to you as well. How's that?
Good morning, Aunt Irene.
I'm going to start calling out individual fans of the show.
Well, you know, you could hold up the magic mirror.
Yes, we could,
you know,
do that.
Like, don't be a...
We could do that.
Romper room.
Yeah, long right, before Camille's sure. time. She's like, what are you talking about? I'll tell you, when I drove into the city tonight, there are people dressed up like it was the first day of summer outside.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, long legs, short hair, they come now, walking past the window. I'm just amazed at, like, how many people are out tonight. But here's the thing. I'm a little confused. We went to a friends of ours had a chili cook-off because it's the second day of fall, and you would think, yeah, it's going to be a little chillier, a little nippier, mm-hmm. sitting in the backyard. Chili on a 90-degree day was delicious. It was fabulous, but a little unexpected, you know, at this time of year to be outside and sweating.
Yeah, it seems like it.
And I spent the last couple days at McCormick Place setting up for a convention for a client, and they don't turn on the air in McCormick Place until the actual convention takes place. So whatever the temperature is outside, mm-hmm. it is the temperature inside. They'll turn it on. But the cost, approximately, mm-hmm. to turn on the air conditioning in McCormick Place, and so let's say it's the west side, not the bigger side on the east side, the west
okay,
side.
Right.
How much do you think it is per day to turn on the air conditioning?
Well, per day, I would say it's about $278,000 per day.
Okay.
I was only going to say $2,000.
Yeah.
But I don't
really?
She says $2,000.
No idea.
What do you think it is, Roger? Is that your guess?
I'll go about $100,000.
Yeah, it's $60,000 a day to turn on the air conditioning. So you are doing the hardest labor to set up and do things and get things ready. In sweltering, you could mm-hmm. wring yourself out in that building. It is so sweltering. Good guess, Roger. But just kind of unexpected. So, today I've got a short little nap. I have to go play a couple masses at church because I'm a good church-going boy.
Yes,
and then I'll be taking out our boat. So I guess this is a good day to do that. One more old-fashioned up in Wisconsin.
I think you can do more than one day. You can probably do the next couple of days.
You think so?
Yeah, I think Wednesday-ish. Tuesday night, Wednesday-ish might cool.
Yeah, but... Got to work.
Oh, that's right. It's Monday. Work and school. I forgot
right,
about
right.
that. See, because I'm
it.
Retired.
Oh, I see.
Well, no,
oh,
I actually, sense. I'm yeah. I'm not because I need to be there Monday to get the kids.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of back at school, too.
You are.
So,
you are.
Yeah,
you're on a schedule.
I'm on schedule because Monday we got the kids. We got the homework. We got the snacks. We got Monday is acting class.
Yeah, you get it.
Tuesday is gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
Oy, oy, oy.
Kids are overcommitted.
Yep. And now the oldest one, did I tell you, she's taking clarinet now?
Wow, look at that.
Oh, yeah. So Thursday, 30 minutes on the clarinet.
Woo.
Yeah.
How's that?
My hearing's a little off right now.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. That's about how that goes. Wanted to address, talking a little bit, today's, of course, Sunday, big games in the NFL today.
Yeah.
Ratings for the NFL have been worse this season because, you know, as you know, they've been dropping. And a lot of it, the slump has been seen since the Colin Kaepernick kneel during the national anthem.
Was that last year or the year before? Last year.
It was last year.
Okay.
So the networks will pay over $5 billion this season to televise the NFL, and we're already facing unflattering margins on advertising profits. An article in the Hollywood Reporter says the drop in NFL ratings could trim the broadcaster earnings by over $200 million.
Wow.
You know, Disney's ESPN, I think you've seen probably over the last few months, they're cutting costs and cutting staff and cutting personalities right out of there. And part of that is for that reason. Now, Comcast, Walt Disney, Fox, CBS, all of them that have a piece of the NFL, all down up to 8% as far as the stock market is concerned, their value, because the NFL ratings have been dropping. Now, in Chicago, I could see why. Bears are a little tough to watch.
Yeah. Okay,
but they are still our Bears and still the big team in town. but this week, Donald Trump threw out there on social media, and really this is the first time he's addressed it. He said, if a player wants the privilege of making millions of dollars in the NFL or other leagues, he or she should not be allowed to disrespect. He said this yesterday. Our great American flag, our country, should stand for the. You should stand for the national anthem. If not, you're fired. Find something else to do. Now, most of the national anthem, those happenings around town, whether with the Chicago Cubs or the Chicago Blackhawks, are in partnership here in Illinois. Let's just say with the USO. And so when the national anthem is sung at a Blackhawks game, there is usually two or three veterans and someone on active duty that goes onto the ice. And it is really one of the reasons why we stand during the national anthem is to honor those veterans and that active duty member that is standing in the United Center. Something very similar done for the Chicago Cubs and sometime... I can't remember which inning it is, but somewhere during the game as well, there is a someone from the military that stands up, and they are also honored. So, you know, there's many people have different opinions about why we stand during the national anthem. Now, during a recent, Real Sports on HBO, have anyone? Any of you heard
no.
All right, so Brian Gumbel.
Well, I don't have the...
Brian Gumbel hosts that, and he had a segment called...
From Chicago.
Called The Anthem, and author and musician Mark Ferris wrote a book entitled Star Spangled Banner, The Unlikely Story of America's National Anthem. According to Ferris, and this is the legend over the history, the national anthem was spontaneously played during the seventh inning of the 1918 World Series, the Boston Red Sox versus the Chicago Cubs, and the fans loved it. The anthem later became... commonplace at baseball games during World War II and World War I. So during the wars, where you know most of our boys and a lot of our women were fighting, they played the national anthem to pull together some camaraderie for the country. From MLB, the tradition spread to other sports throughout the United States. According to Ferris, sports fans adopted the military's reverence for the anthem by standing as a show of respect to the flag. And since the tragedy of 9/11, we've seen a similar tradition born where God Bless America gets played either before the game or during the seventh inning. We do our own thing, of course, during the seventh inning stretch as well. Now, there is there's actually an unenforced law on the books that says that at the venue, all present except those in military uniform should stand facing the flag with their right hand over their heart. Out of respect, follow the leads of those at the podium or on stage and share the moment together as Americans. If there's no flag, for some reason there's no flag in the ceremony, face toward the music and act if the flag was there. Hats, if you're not in the military uniform and are wearing a hat, remove it with your right hand and hold it over your left shoulder while your hand is over your heart. Military personnel, members in uniform, should render the military salute at the beginning of the anthem and retain the position throughout. So there's some rules out there as well for that. Now, Joe Maddon jumped into the conversation this week from the Chicago Cubs, of course.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, and he said, It's dangerous when folks in our country stop respecting the White House and the seat of the president. It's not a good situation. With all due respect to everybody, I just believe we need to get our acts together collectively, all of us. He has always made it clear that respecting the president's office is of utmost importance to him. He cited that the very reason when he was among the smaller Cubs contingent to visit Trump in June, after the team made it the official visit to the White House before Barack Obama left his office in January. Apparently that respect is unwavering, regardless of the rhetoric coming out of the office. You know, he pretty much says, I respect the office of the president, and I respect the history of the White House and you know, also our military. And I will tell you, when I went out to Washington, D.C. this summer, I took pictures with my family in front of the White House, like you would do when you're there.
You did the touristy thing, sure.
I visited the Capitol. I visited the White House. And the hell I got from a lot of people, because I posted it not only on my personal page, but on my WGN show page on Facebook. How could you stand in front of that White House with what's coming out of there? And it was that was probably the nicest thing somebody said. I mean, it was some of them said very nice things. I mean, you know, nice to see your family together, blah, blah, blah. But it was a lot of anger because I was standing in front of the White House. Are you kidding me? The history that has happened at that White House?
It's a building.
But it also represents our country, and it also represents the presidency.
Yeah.
So, you know, throwing some opinions out there, I do have some agreement with the president on if you're at a game and... Again, 99% of those times, there are military personnel and veterans on the field, and those are people being honored at that game to stand out of respect to those people, I think absolutely is the right thing to do. If you've got something you want to protest and you're not happy with something happening in the United States, whether with the government, whether it's with the police, no matter who it is, then you have a right to protest that and speak your mind because that's what you do and that's why you live in America. But there's different venues for that. If you've got an issue, then protest. If you've got an issue that you want to talk about, then get involved in an organization or get involved in the media. I feel that those people, those military personnel that are at these games are the ones that are being disrespected. And also, those around the country who have served and sacrificed their lives and their families who have lost a loved one in the military. Because I've got plenty of friends who lost their lives in Iraq. I have family members who were in Vietnam. I've got family members that were in World War II. And I have the respect to take off my hat. And I'm one of those guys at the games that tell people if they've got their hat on, please remove your
hats.
Really?
You
I am
around.
One of those guys. Yeah. I am one of those guys. Because it's out of respect to those people, and it's out of respect to the people that I'm seeing on the monitors standing there, some 89-year-old veteran from World War II standing there saluting his flag. I'm going to honor him. And if I've got an issue, then I'm going to find a way to protest that, not protest the flag and the people that are standing on the field. Any thoughts on that? And I know you're a news guy, so you got to be careful with sharing deep opinion about this. I see you listening intently.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that?
Camille? It's a very fine line.
Yeah.
It's an extremely fine line because when the Constitution says the right to free speech, and again, I'm not quoting the entire portion, but the right to free speech, it doesn't say you can only do it here or there or somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Now, your use of the term respect is a very important term. And I agree with you that the respect for showing for the military, you know, my dad served in Korea in World War II, and his brother, my uncle, also served. And I have deep respect for the military and for all who served, continue to serve, and for the families. And the respect that needs to be shown when the national anthem is played, when you're raising the flag every morning for those who you know, raise the flag at their school or at their business or, you know, an office building. You know, they have the flags out in front. The American flag, the state of Illinois flag, the Chicago flag, when the flag is being carried in a parade, you show respect for the flag. It represents our country. Now, our country consists of a lot of things and a lot of history. Mm-hmm. A lot of it good, a lot of it not so good.
But you have that freedom, and you have that freedom.
Exactly, and you have that freedom.
Because of that.
You have the freedom to express yourself, your freedom of speech, in your manner. It doesn't matter where or when. It does matter how, because there are some laws against, you know, demonstrations and
burning.
And, well, now I just read a story that a high schooler, and I'll have to go back and look at it, but it came across a high schooler threatened to burn the flag in protest, and it went to court. And a judge says he's got every right to do that as his right of free speech. There have been other cases in the past where artists have done artwork or multimedia displays and stuff like that using the flag in certain manners, and people have tried to get the exhibits or the painting or whatever removed, and the courts have ruled that this is their right of free speech. Now, do you agree with that? No. A lot of people don't agree with that.
No, I don't agree with that.
And I'm using the universal you. But you too. But that's why we have these conversations. That's why we can talk to each other about this. It's like I say, it's a fine line as to, do you take away someone's right to say what they want, where they want to say it, or do you, in other words, do you put conditions on the free speech? Do you follow what I'm saying on that? Do you say, well, you have the right to say what you want to say, but you can't do it when the national anthem is playing? You can't do it when a flag is being raised. You can't do it when we're honoring this group or that group, or there's a parade honoring, like Memorial Day parade. Things like that. So,
well, I got a texter that said, protests are protected by the First Amendment. Of course they are. Anthem and flag are symbols of America, not the military. Disagree. They're also a representation of our military. Members of the military fought for the right to kneel or sit during the anthem. Burning the flag is protected as a protest since 1989.
Because that's Texas versus Johnson.
Yeah, is that what that is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, I still feel that is a absolute disrespect for the country that you live in and the freedoms that you have. There are different ways to protest, and I think doing that while there's active or veterans on the field, I think it just shows a gross lack of respect.
And again,
I'm not changing my mind on that.
No,
that's my opinion. That's my right.
It's your right. And I
got the mic.
Yes, you do. but I think as I was hemming and hawing on this, trying to observe both points of view, I think the fine line is, it's like not yelling fire in a crowded theater when there's no fire.
Mm-hmm.
You have the right of free speech. Now, is it common sense? Is it good sense? Is it proper?
Yeah.
Is it appropriate to do it then and there and that way? That's where you need to have a talk with yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't even know if I'm making sense here, but it's a personal issue that you have the right to protest. You have the right to speak your mind, but the appropriate place, time, That is something you have to make the decision on. And now Colin Kaepernick made the decision to do it the way he did at the time he did.
Right.
Was his ulterior motive to make a statement that it has become?
Well, he
You understand what I'm saying?
It has, and he doesn't have a job, and nobody will hire him.
True.
As a fact. And number two, there is a fact, and both sides of the aisle will say, and we've got a break here for news, but the other side will say, both sides, that the ratings are down in the NFL, and a lot of that isn't just because they're bored with the sport. The sport's been around for a long time. People are a little frustrated with the politics that have come into the NFL. So, yes, we all share
It's a continuing discussion.
It is.
And
but we're going to discontinue it tonight.
As we say, a lively discussion.
A lively one.